Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. This episode of Spaces Podcasts is supported by Infratech. Bring indoor comfort to outdoor living with Infratech comfort heaters. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Good morning.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcasts Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Oh, Jason, we are having some technical difficulties today.
I don't know about we.
We as in me. This has been just a train wreck here. But we're going to push through and figure this out. So today and this week, actually, we're going to talk some policy. We did SB 9 a couple weeks ago. But I want to get into the infrastructure bill and the Build Back Better bill. So these were originally one bill. And then at some point in conversations and negotiations, it was broken up into two separate things. So this one, the infrastructure bill that we're going to talk about today, has more of the infrastructure component. And then we'll jump into the Build Back Better bill in our next episode, which directly connects to us in the housing industry a little bit more than this part, but this does get into all of the building industry in general. But before that, gotta give a nod to our sponsor. In the last few years, premium outdoor spaces have become a must-have architectural feature, and Infratech outdoor electric heating systems have become the brand of choice among leading architects. Infratech heaters provide energy-efficient, ambient warmth that allows homeowners to live outdoors during cooler months. Clients love them because they can enjoy 100 more nights a year outside. Architects love them because of the unparalleled versatility, from heater capacities and colors to mounting options that can either seamlessly disappear or accentuate a space with beautiful decorative coverings. They're also the only comfort heating company to offer smart home integration and hands-free voice-activated control. For over 60 years, Infratech has made their products in the USA at competitive prices. They offer incredible design and live technical support at every stage of a job. Infratech is specified at the world's most prestigious properties. Learn why and sign up for a free consultation at infratech.com/podcasts. And one thing to highlight with Infratech is they are one of the only outdoor heating systems that can be fully integrated with automation and smart home control, like Alexa and Google, if you're willing to have them listen to you all the time, listen to your conversations.
Yeah, they just tap in at this point.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure that, I mean, they are listening to us on our phones. So
totally.
But you could connect your heater to turn on through Google and Alexa, which is pretty cool. Okay, now back to the conversation today. So we're going to dig into the infrastructure bill, as I mentioned. So this was a $1.2 trillion bill, I believe, dedicated to infrastructure in the United States. How familiar are you with it, Jason?
Not super familiar. Only the bad parts.
Which is interesting. I did look up some of the opposition to the bill, and it's very generic and flighty, in my opinion. It does look like political spin to just oppose the other side. But we'll jump on that towards the end. Just want to get through some of these major points of it. So as I mentioned, it's geared mostly towards the infrastructure. So the first item on the list is delivering clean water. We did an episode on water and our water systems in the United States, particularly the problems that they're facing in Michigan. So this is to combat things like that and upgrading service lines that were previously lead pipes and things like that. So this will invest $55 billion to expand access to clean drinking water for households, businesses, schools, childcare centers all across the country. So that's the first one. Any issue with that one?
No issues with that at all. Sounds awesome in theory.
The second part is high-speed internet. This is $65 billion to ensure that every American has access to reliable high-speed internet. This one is a good one because I know, you know, back in Compton where I'm from and other similar locations, there can be slow internet access and areas, schools that don't have good infrastructure to even get the faster speed internet and things like that. So it does hamper locations that haven't been invested in as far as access to this new world of free education, in a sense, being able to tap into different resources. So sort of leveling out the playing field a little bit and giving that infrastructure to communities that haven't been able to receive those type of benefits, basically.
Well, plus they need everybody to be able to get on the metaverse soon too, right? to live their fake life. So, so I mean, you can't do that if all those places don't have high speed internet, right?
Yes, and that'll be another continued conversation that we'll have. Next one is roads and bridges with a particular focus on climate change, mitigation, resilience, equity, and safety. This will reauthorize surface transportation programs for 5 years and invest $110 billion in additional funding to repair roads, bridges, and support major transformational projects. The idea is to upgrade all of our roads and bridges.
Which has been going swimmingly for the last several, you know, decades as it is, no?
Well, I don't know that the federal government has invested in this way over the last few years. A lot of states have individually taken them up or taken this task up.
Or not taken it up.
Or failed miserably. But the interesting thing in Orange County, where we live, they pay higher taxes. We talked about this in our planning episode, I believe. There's higher taxes in Orange County, which goes into transportation because there's like some loophole where they get to keep more of their money, tax money, by putting it into transportation. So all the roads and everything here are constantly being upgraded. Very, very rarely find areas where it's like torn up. But just outside of Orange County, the roads just completely go downhill. It's like a running joke in Compton, these massive potholes
and just, it's just degrading all over. Yeah, I agree.
Drive through LA, you see where the buses stop, how the asphalt has been pushed up and just like, you know, bulging in the corner.
Well, that goes back to my theory about LA. We just need to like scrape it and start over. I mean, all of it. Leave Staples, like that's fine, and a couple others maybe that are brand new, but like we need to scrape it and start over. It's just so bad.
Yeah.
So, dude, in that freeway system, holy bananas. Like it's so bad.
Yeah. So this is definitely needed. I'm not quite sure how it will be divvied out because it's not enough, obviously, for every state and every location, but I assume people are going to basically apply for the money in some sense, and they'll put it where it's most needed.
Like people's pockets, politicians' pockets, contractors on the inside with kickbacks.
This one is investment in public transit, which will be interesting because we just have a completely different mindset in the United States as far as public transit goes.
Dude, we shouldn't even take that endeavor at this point. Like, there's no way it's going to happen. Like it's just, there's too much infrastructure already built, too much infrastructure you'd have to recreate and rebuild. Like there's no way to do it properly at this point. There's no way. I mean, the only way I see it happening was if Elon kept doing all his tunneling. You know what I mean?
I don't know that was a great idea.
But you know what I'm saying? Like at least it was like a new frontier where you're not, you know, running into certain things, or when finally all the cars take to the sky. Like, I mean, that's the only way. Think about all the buildings that are there already, how tight all the roads are and everything like that. Like how do you even do that right now? There's no way.
Yeah.
Dude, 30, 40 year process. Like there's no way. So, you know, it's wasted money. There's no way to do it.
So this is, this will include a $39 billion investment to modernize transit, in addition to continuing the existing transit programs for 5 years as part of a surface transportation reauthorization. In total, the new investment and reauthorization provides $89.9 billion in guaranteed funding for public transit over the next 5 years, which is the largest federal investment in public transit in history. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one, particularly on the West, I think is more so the issue as far as public transit goes. We're just too car dependent here.
Yeah, and nothing had been put into play. So to your point, like if you go on the East Coast, there's a lot of areas where you can improve upon what's already there.
Yeah.
But it's already there. And, and like on the West, like there's some stuff that's here, but I don't believe there's any way without massive reinvestment, and 69 or 70 billion isn't that number, right? Yeah. Like, and that would only be just for here, but there's way too much infrastructure in place already that you'd have to tear down and, you know, quote unquote rewire, and you know what I mean? Like at least out on the West, like you're saying, it's just not something that's going to work.
Yeah, it's
needed.
It was purely an afterthought for our side of the country. You know, we started with car culture. Then they put in some transit after the fact, which looks like it's after the fact when you see the public transit system that we have here. So yeah, it's gonna need a major overhaul that I think has to be state specific from our perspective. I don't think federal can help us on what we need to get done over here. But yeah, this is definitely, I'm sure, will be helpful for everyone that has a system in place to just upgrade and clean it up a little bit more. This bill will also strengthen the, which is kind of funny right now to talk about, but ports and airports, and hopefully help supply chain, improve on our supply chain issues, which we obviously need right now with the clear issues that we have. But this bill will invest $17 billion in port infrastructure and waterways and $25 billion in airports to address repair and maintenance backlogs, reduce congestion and emissions near ports and airports, and drive electrification and other low-carbon technologies. LAX has been constantly under construction on our end.
It's like the 405.
It seems... You travel probably more than I do for work, at least. In all the airports that you go into...
Nothing like that.
Nothing like LAX.
Nothing like that. I mean, no. There's no airport that it's like been the biggest pain in the rear to get in and out of like LAX. It just isn't that way. New York, everywhere. Like, I mean, Chicago, like all that kind of stuff. I mean, you don't want to go into Chicago for different reasons, but... God, I've been in the last 2 years, we've been in a lot of major airports, and it is like, I try to avoid LAX like the plague. I mean, I'll drive further if I have to, like going at random hours, like it's brutal. It's so bad. It's like nothing you've ever seen. You go through LAX and you just realize it's just terrible.
Yeah. Well, I think this will help those that do have issues clean up some of their issues and sort of modernize. It does mention to reduce emissions, so that'll be cleaning up some of those things. But we could use some of that money.
I know. For sure.
Okay, now this next one is rail. They will be investing $66 billion additional in rail funding to eliminate Amtrak maintenance backlog, modernize that rail system. Again, this goes back to the culture in the United States. I know it's very different here on the West, but it feels like we're not a rail country. But they are predicting that rail will become more important in the future. I don't see that.
I don't know why you would say that. I mean, like, because to me, like, I think the train at one point worked really, really well because you're getting from, like, and this is going back, right? And this is my guess, from one, like, populated area through all this land to another populated area.
Yeah.
Well, now all those gaps in between have so many fingers and spiders out because of all the development. Like, how does a train service that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't see that happening. What I do know, you know, locally centric, you know, a lot of people will take, if they live in Orange County, will take the train to LA and then Uber to their office or whatever, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Or I should probably say rideshare to their office, you know, one way or the other. But I don't see how you become more rail centric when you have so many fingers that split off along the way now. You know what I mean? I just don't see that. So I'd be curious as to see why they think that's the case.
The only connection that I can make is maybe flying will become so expensive because of gas, and unless they figure out some sort of electric plane, but because of fuel costs, plane tickets will become so expensive that the alternative is rail, which may be more cost effective. That's the only connection that I could make.
And then at that point with planes, I mean, you're flying major city to major city more or less. Mm-hmm. So the train could do the same thing, but then you have the same issue where we're such instant gratification people that it takes you forever in a train with all the stops, as opposed to, I mean, how long does it take a train ride to go from here to Northern California where we are?
It's like 8 hours, I think.
Yeah. It's like an 8 hour flight or one hour flight. You know what I mean?
As opposed to an 8 hour train ride.
Yeah. So you smoke a day as opposed to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that pans out. I think you're right about cost to a certain degree, but I would hope there's some types of efficiencies that technologically come through that would offset that stuff. I mean, does this not sound crazy saying that rail is going to be a big deal? Like, that was like coal burning crap.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so you listen to this stuff. This is why I have such a struggle. First off, we're putting in a $1 trillion bill when we're how many trillions of dollars in debt? You know what I mean? Like, I will never understand this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, and we need to invest and you need to keep building. Like, don't get me wrong. I get that. But, and then you look at it, and part of this whole $1 trillion bill was there's going to be no taxing of whatever that number was down. Well, now there is a tax on it, and albeit much less than everything else, but it's like nothing's what they say it is. And so I think that's the struggle. But you look at this and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, infrastructure, clean new deal, but, you know, move us into the future, this and that, but let's use more coal burning trains. Like, how does that work? You know, I don't understand. Like, I don't realize how people don't look at stuff like that and go, good Lord, like, this is the best we can do, you know, like, come on.
I'm not prepared to speak specifically to the climate damage that trains could do as opposed to all of the driving and planes, but instinctually, I would think that trains would be better than planes and cars.
You're probably right.
But at the same time, there is that hurdle, I think, to get over that we mentioned of convenience, saving time. And trains specifically have to upgrade their experience of being on there. It has to have all these things for you to do on the plane, or the metaverse will help.
You and your metaverse.
Will help close that loop.
I am, we won't go into the metaverse thing. I think it's going to be the worst thing for, like, human beings. I really do. I just have such a bad feeling about it.
Let's put a pin in the metaverse for today.
we put a stake in it.
The next thing is the EV, electric vehicle. So they will be investing $7.5 billion to build out a national network of EV chargers in the US.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And this is going to be a huge linchpin to kick off electric vehicle purchase, because I think a lot of people have been hesitant for that reason of how far can you get on a battery and how you have to figure out where your next charging station is.
We were having this whole conversation about, because I'm looking at literally two new cars for the family, one being a new truck for me because it's a diesel as opposed to the gas, and the gas mileage on, or the mileage is so much better. Mm-hmm. With all the driving I'm doing, I'm considering that. And then, but it sparked the conversation about like, what about EVs? Right. And, you know, my opinion on EVs, well, I think they're practical for a lot of people. My point is, if I'm driving to LA and back all the time, like how much am I burning? What if I got to go in an emergency to somewhere else? I can't just hop over to a station and fill her up. You know what I mean? Like all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I looked, I was like, well, maybe hybrid is still really the way to go. You know what I mean? You get the extended mileage, but you're not, you still have the ability to just fuel up. Right.
Yeah.
And not only that, I think the other thing is, you know, like, I don't know if our grid can handle it. I mean, we get so many rolling blackouts and stuff like that, at least here in California, but you get them in other places too. And it's like, we already say it's struggling, you know, mm-hmm. at best is what a lot of people will say, wherever you look. And then you're just going to hook up all these other cars to it. Like, I don't see how that works. And it was funny. One of the arguments was, well, we have solar. I'm like, but you charge it between the hours of midnight and five. Like there's no solar doesn't help you unless you have battery banks and all that kind of stuff. And anybody that did solar up to 2 years ago doesn't have battery banks and you can't add them, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I don't think it, I think my point is to everybody get one electric car, have one that's gas powered. Like, you know what I mean? So at least you always have something to go. But I do know it's necessary. In talking with some people, it's like, yeah, they have to plan their routes based off of where they can hit a charger.
Yeah.
And then there are studies coming out now that are actually starting to quantify if you're really saving money, you know, versus what you're paying for electricity. There's one that I read one, and I'll try and find it and I'll send it to you. And in fairness, I don't think it did the greatest job of comparing it. It showed that it was actually more expensive on the electrical side than it is on the gas side. Mm-hmm. You know, like mid-sized car to mid-sized car. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things that made me like, that's kind of an assumption that I don't know if I would use, you know what I mean? So it might've been a gas powered centric type person. Mm-hmm. But it's a real situation. And I know people that have had like Teslas when they go to the supercharger and they're all taken up because everybody's there. It's like, so now you got to kill time to wait.
Yeah.
Wait while you charge, you know, so it's clunky at best right now. Right. Yeah. And so I think it makes
growing pains.
Yeah. And that's why it makes perfect sense to invest in it.
Yeah.
But I still have a lot of questions surrounding, it just seems like we're loading a system that's still pretty, I don't want to say barbaric, but the system itself needs to be updated somehow. And I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah. And I think looking at a single home, for instance, if you are capturing solar power to a battery backup system, you start to capture some of these savings as opposed to being connected to the grid 24/7. And that's kind of where we're trying to get to, is optimizing our capture of sun power, use a battery to charge all of these things, to use all this power, so you're minimizing your usage of the grid itself, is where we need to get to. But it's going to take a little bit of time for us to get there. And these type of investments are definitely needed in order to get us to think in a different way and to remove some of those barriers.
Yeah, totally. I mean, something's got to be done. That was the main thing, right? One way or another. So
yeah,
we're taking steps.
Yeah.
See, I'm not all against everything we're doing. I can apply logic as it's needed.
Yeah. As it's needed.
Yeah.
Next is, to this point, power. So they'll be investing more than $65 billion in clean energy transmission and grid in the United States, upgrading power infrastructure, building thousands of miles of new resilient transmission lines to facilitate the expansion of renewables and clean energy while lowering costs too. So that's to that point of upgrading all of the infrastructure as well to balance out, like you were saying, being able to take advantage of all these things. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Make our infrastructure resilient against the impacts of climate change. So they'll be investing over $50 billion to protect against droughts, heat, floods, and wildfires, in addition to major investment in weatherization. So Texas would probably be the best example. Well, they have both temperature swings. They had the freezing weather recently where I don't even know how many people had died through that thing, and then they have extreme heat as well, and the grid can't balance either. And that's a whole nother issue there that we can talk about in a different episode. But upgrading systems to be able to handle these extremes of cold and or heat, and then wildfires, I don't know, we got to figure out something.
Yeah.
Well, the one, we didn't really dig into this in our fire episode, but the big fire in Paradise, California, that sparked from a cable line that was not upgraded, and it was rusted out, and it basically broke, and a power line fell onto something and sparked the fire. And so stuff like that, giving companies the funds to do these infrastructure upgrades that are needed rather than them passing on them in order to not spend the money.
Yep.
And then the last one is pollution. So they will be investing $21 billion to clean up Superfund sites, which I just found out what that is, but it's basically these sites that have been deemed as highly polluted and have long-term plans, or will require long-term plans to remediate the damage on those sites. But Superfund sites, brownfield sites, reclaiming abandoned mine land, and cap orphaned oil and gas wells. And this has been a big issue that has been under the radar for many years. A lot of these locations end up being around low-income communities, creating bad living conditions, high cancer rates, and different things like that just from the pollution. So cleaning up a lot of this stuff, hopefully it actually happens and doesn't end up in somebody's pocket. But
the funny thing is, like, one of the things I keep thinking of as we talk about all these funds and stuff, right, which I think, again, a lot of it is a good thing, but what a lot of people don't understand, to do a government contract, you mm-hmm. know, to do all this work, mm-hmm. like, there's a lot that goes into it. For one, it's not the greatest bidding process. So that's really important to understand. So you're probably overpaying for work there in general. I won't even go into the tinfoil hat stuff about who's tied together, right? Like, and look, I know that exists in our market too. So that certainly exists on the other side, period, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But then on top of that, it's not bid out that well. And then it's usually a prevailing wage. Mm-hmm. Right. So anytime you do these things, it's prevailing wage. And for those that aren't listening, prevailing wage is essentially what the state or the Fed determines is an appropriate wage to be paid for whatever labor situation it is. And it's astronomically higher than any other company that does work pays. Like, it's mm-hmm. astronomically higher. So when you look at it, like me, I'm sitting here going, okay, $65 billion, there's a lot of different things I could do with that, right? And get it done. It's probably like, if I was to make a market comparison, mm-hmm. that $65 billion to me really becomes worth about $20 million or $20 billion
in actual work that can be done.
100%. So mm-hmm. it's a 3-to-1 ratio, in my opinion, you know, just from what I've seen, because we've done prevailing wage stuff and whatever. And I look at the rates that you have to pay, and you're just like, holy crap, right? Yeah. And then if you have a normal overhead percentage and stuff that you add things, obviously that percentage dollar amount gross value is a lot larger than it would have been otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. So it's probably a 3-to-1 ratio. So every time you talk about a $3 trillion bill, it's really a $1 trillion bill in market value, in my opinion, for the work that's going to get done. Mm-hmm. It's something to keep in mind.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense and explains a lot too, both from the front of how little can get done, as well as why there are, and I will agree with you that there are friend connections giving up these contracts.
Totally. I have ones like that too. You know what I mean? Like, to the point where I know what I need to do to get the work, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, it's not just completely a veiled situation. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't personally ever get into the kickback idea. Like, I just, mm-hmm. I think it's ethically horrible, mm-hmm. but that exists. I've seen it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's there.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of that goes on. That's how, look, okay, tinfoil hat on. that's how a lot of these politicians that get in there making a couple hundred thousand a year get their net wealth so large. Like that, mm-hmm. like that's how, and I'll go back to it. I don't have a problem with that entirely. You know what I mean? If it was meant for better, I understand. Like, and that's fair. And like I said, entirely.
Yeah.
Right. Like, going back to the 4 or 8 year term, right. But yeah. not lifetime terms that where that stuff happens. So, but that exists, and people want to put their head in the sand and think that exists 100%.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, that was a tangent. I apologize.
Yeah. That's not tinfoil. The
market,
hat.
But the market value part, I need people to understand. You know yeah. what I mean? At best, it's a 3-to-1. It's probably
yeah.
worse.
Yeah. So I wanted to quickly run through some of the opposition points, just so the people are aware. Destructive tax hikes, federal infrastructure spending that fails to create jobs. I don't agree with that. Problem three, economically harmful central planning. They're arguing that the plan would lead to more federal involvement in local infrastructure, such as schools and water systems, and more micromanagement of private sector concerns, such as energy, manufacturing, housing, and more. I didn't get that inclination, but okay. And then the last one was wasteful infrastructure priorities are false advertising. When the federal officials reference infrastructure investments, the first thing that usually comes to mind is the quality of the nation's highways and bridges, which carry countless amounts of both people and goods from coast to coast and border to border. However, this would only dedicate 4% of spending to highways and bridges, and it would spend most on mass transit, which carries less than 1/10 of major passenger traffic, blah, blah, blah. Similar to what we were saying. Yeah. That's the one that I couldn't really wrap my head around, but
I mean, part of that goes back to what I think we said in other episodes, right? Like if you have a CEO or CFO of a company and they look at stuff and saying, hey, we're going to get $1 million investment. Here's how we need to best deploy it to get the greatest return. That doesn't happen with government. You know what I mean? That's not it, like, I don't want to say that doesn't happen. That's unfair. I don't think there's enough focus put on rate of return as opposed to whatever the hell it is they seem to be focusing on. Mm-hmm. So if you use that little quip about what you just said, right, where it's like that focus is only on 4% of what's truly needed as opposed mm-hmm. to the rest of it goes to what nobody uses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, come on, you know, like, and that's why I think it was last episode or the other one where I was like, look, I don't mind paying my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Just get me some value for it. You know what I'm saying? That's the hard part. And so you see stuff like this and you're like, okay, I'm not getting any value for it. Mm-hmm. All the stuff I'm using, or that everybody seems to be using, a very small percentage of all this that we're paying taxes for is actually going to go to use there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just kind of, it makes you very disenchanted with the process.
Yeah. On the other side, I think maybe they're playing to where the puck will be as opposed to where it is.
You think they're looking into the future?
Possibly. That's the only way that I can wrap my mind around it. Is that
possibly?
Is that they're trying to invest into rail to make it a better experience and more efficient to get people to use it as opposed to flying as much or driving as much?
You know what's interesting if you say it like that? There's no way your generation or my generation, and I know we're not that far apart, but you know what I'm saying? Like we're too car dependent. Mm-hmm. I don't even want people driving me. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like there's no way I'm going backwards. Now I will tell you some of the 15-year-olds right now, 16-year-olds, those guys that I thought should have like been clamoring to get their license that haven't. I mean, maybe there's a possibility there where those people start getting more involved in that regard. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm being totally fair, like, you know, instead of them jumping into a ride share, you know, maybe they take a train, you know, or that kind of thing, and then take the ride share from there over. I mean, we've seen a lot of ride share take over, at least it's changed the landscape to a certain degree, right? Of vehicular transport. So I mean, maybe, but I still, but for the reasons I stated before, the amount of time, because we are mm-hmm. in an instant gratification world. I don't care what anybody says, right? Mm-hmm. Because the amount of time and how far out now those fingers stretch from destination to destination, it mm-hmm. doesn't seem feasible
mm-hmm.
For it to make the impact that maybe the desire is to do.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, on the side about them looking into the future versus in the present, I actually tend to think they look more at the present because it's the data that they can point to say why they're doing that. Mm-hmm. As opposed to politically how it would look like taking a gamble on something you're not sure of it from a visioning aspect. So I tend to believe they're a little bit more what's right in front of your face focused as opposed to the true future of where things are going. Because if there was, you'd have a plan, you know what I mean? And it'd be clearly defined and here's the steps we're going to take and here's the years I see it doing and whatever. But most of the guys don't want to put their neck out there like that because then they won't get reelected if they can't hit those steps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's opinion.
Yeah. So that's the infrastructure bill. Do with it what you will. But thank you for the conversation, Jason.
That was great.
Thank you to the listeners for listening. We will talk again on Thursday. Thanks. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. By checking them out and supporting them, you help us keep this show going. Thank you to Infratech Outdoor Comfort Heating for their support of this episode of Spaces Podcast. Visit infratech-usa.com/podcast to sign up for a free consultation and learn why Infratech is the choice for bringing indoor comfort to outdoor living. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk, and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.